The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two. Well, technically, it's kind of still hour number one for us because we didn't get on until 4:30, but we'll take it as hour number two. If you want to get in, best way to do it today, because we are out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse, is to text the show at 713-780-3776 or hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, and at Degenerates975. And out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland, and they brought us the pumpkin cheesecake. This is amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
Just for the record, amazing. It has to be tried. It is a moral imperative.
Yeah, I told myself I wasn't going to eat any junk food
me either.
This week.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. This week was going to be perfect, right?
It's literally Monday, and I'm eating a piece of pumpkin cheesecake.
Yeah, this was going to be a no drinking, just eat good food, workout all week.
Yep.
Fail. It's Monday. I guess I'm drinking tonight now. Damn it. Oh, well.
Might as well.
Yeah, I've already blown it. Cheesecake. Yep. We talked a lot about the Texans and that disaster yesterday. So we could we need to get through the rest of the games, and we'll try to do our best. There's a lot that we need to get to. Missing that 30 minutes it threw me off, man. Had so many good things to talk about.
Hard times.
All right. Start with some of the early games. Colts beat the Bears 29-23. Give the Bears credit for holding in there, but you know what? You give the Colts a chance late in the game with Andrew Luck, they tend to pull it out.
That's exactly what happened. The Bears actually look good. Brian Hoyer actually looked good, and I told you that running back, that Jordan Howard, is a difference maker for them. They're going to be a better team. The Colts aren't junk, though, and especially Andrew Luck's not junk. You give that dude enough time, he will go down and finish a game on you, and this time he did.
He almost has to be perfect, though, for them to beat good teams.
It's crazy that I see Indianapolis media acting like it's his fault, like he's taking too much money or something. Like, blame Ryan Grigson, the organization for not building around him. That's not his fault. He's making what the going rate is for franchise quarterbacks.
And we talked about this before the show. It's not his fault he's not Peyton Manning either. And
yeah.
You talked about one of the all-time great guys, great quarterbacks. He might wind up being one of the all-time top 15 by the time his career is over. He's not one of the top two or three, and there's no shame in that. But they have nothing around that guy. Steelers beat the Jets 31-13. Another not-so-great effort from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now they're looking at maybe you have to make a change there.
Less of a horrific effort, though.
Yeah, but Steelers are just playing very good football right now.
Yeah, and the Steelers are the team, and they did it yesterday. They're up 10 points or 14 points, whatever it was. Maybe it was 11 at the time. And there's 2 minutes and some change left, and they're throwing on third down into the end zone.
Yeah.
They are a bully team.
Yeah. And they like to rub your faces in it. I like that team a lot. The Titans go in and beat the Dolphins 30-17. How bad are the Dolphins?
Fred, I'm telling you now, the Dolphins – and maybe that guy wants to call in again who said the Dolphins were going to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years.
Oh, we were supposed to apologize after the Thursday night game, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you this. The Dolphins are the same level of bad that the Browns and the 49ers are. I mean, having watched them now enough, they are that bad. And their only win is against the Browns when the Browns missed field goals. I mean, they had no business even winning that game. That is a really, really bad team. Really bad. Tannehill is garbage. No one should ever tell me again that Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. He's not.
Well, I would tell that guy to call in, but we can't take calls today, so tomorrow.
Like
call in and explain yourself, sir.
If the Texans had Ryan Tannehill as their backup, I'd say, better stick with Osweiler. That's what I would say.
Lions beat the Eagles 24-23, and you know what? Carson Wentz looked pretty good again, but the one thing about the Eagles is I think their secondary can be had, and the Lions do throw the ball well enough to
finally
take advantage of that.
They actually hadn't this season, and then they made some big plays.
Well, they did against the Colts.
True. Is that Marvin Jones' 800-yard game? but Golden Tate actually finally, I guess he has a uniform. He showed up, and he played in the game, which was new for them. Some big plays down the stretch, which the Lions hadn't gotten all season long.
Patriots house the Browns 33-13. You knew Tom Brady was going to come out and just spread the ball around and do what Tom Brady does. And, man, that was a dismantling, which I felt really good about by halftime that they were going to cover that 10.5.
Yeah. It's funny. They scored quickly, and then the Browns scored. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Yeah, but then then the world normalized. And the good thing about Gronk, he's still not 100%, but when he's on the field, he draws so much attention that Martellus Bennett is just running around with no one even looking at him. It's just too easy.
He could be naked and no one would notice him.
Too easy.
Redskins beat the Ravens 16-10. The Ravens follow up by firing their offensive coordinator today.
Yeah, that's a tough loss for the Ravens, who it looked like maybe they had the game-winning touchdown down the field. Flacco made a nice throw, and apparently the second foot doesn't get down, and they lose that game. If they're not in a game where they're within three, I don't know what to tell them, because Justin Tucker can't kick 6-point field goals, but if he could, I'm sure he would. But that was the case yesterday. They needed a touchdown and couldn't quite get it. The offense has not been good, though.
No, and they needed a change, and I don't think this is going to be a change that gets them to the Super Bowl like it did the last time they fired a coordinator midseason, but I do think that they needed to do something. Falcons go in and beat the Browns 23-16. Two things about this game.
No, the Falcons didn't beat the Browns.
Excuse me. Falcons beat the Broncos. Two things about this game I wanted to get to. Number one, there were a couple times where Julio Jones beat double and triple coverage and Matt Ryan missed him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing to watch that guy get open. The other thing is, this is exactly how you have to beat a team like the Broncos, like the Texans yesterday going in against the Vikings. You have to get them down and make their quarterback try to beat you. And in this case, Paxton Lynch not experienced enough. And the Falcons were able to run the ball against the Broncos.
Exactly. They did finally.
Yeah, and that's how you're going to have to beat them. Really good game for Atlanta. I can't, you know, I'm still not buying into them because I remember last year's 5-0 start, but that was a nice win. They did everything they needed to do to win that football game. That's how you have to beat Denver. They just gave you the recipe. Now, most teams aren't good enough to do that.
That's a couple impressive wins in a row for Atlanta. You know, I don't know where they sit in the NFC hierarchy. I still have them behind Seattle. I still have them behind Minnesota right now. Is there anybody else in the NFC you'd say is better than the Falcons?
Not at the moment.
I wouldn't either. No. So, I think they're one of the best teams in the NFC, which...
But I've been burned with them because last year at this time, I would have told you they were the best team in the NFC at this time.
You've been burned with them? Come on, dude. Yeah, I've been burned with that team a lot. Yeah. I get blinded by that talent, and they'll find a way to blow it. But so far, so good for that team.
I'll save Cowboys-Bengals because I want to spend a little time on that. But Raiders-Chargers, Raiders win at 34-31. Chargers do what they do, score a bunch of points, come up short. More importantly, game went over.
Man, Derek Carr. A lot of it is he's got great weapons. I mean, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper are great weapons to have, but those are like long touchdown passes.
Yeah, what I like that I'm seeing out of him, he had a couple of mistakes early. He had one really bad pick. He had a second one that should have been picked, and it doesn't faze him. He just keeps playing, and he gets better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
And that's always a good sign. This game has special meaning to me because we have that little pool where we have to pick five games.
Yes.
I was 4-0 going into it. I had the Bills plus 2.5 against the Rams, and then Keenum's going to Keenum. Got the pick six. Bills win it 30-19.
You win the pool.
I win the pool. I'm a happy man.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks in that pool, I was 4-0 going into the last game, and I lost both times.
Which is why I texted you, because I knew exactly what was going to happen.
And it was like for me, you won 1 week's worth of pool. Yeah. I had gotten up to 4 weeks' worth of pool, which would have been a nice cash. But, Bills actually looked really good. They ran the ball well. The Rams were missing some key guys, which, you know, most teams in the NFL, the Vikings were missing a bunch of key guys, and they did all right yesterday. But the Rams are one of those teams that, despite the record, it still seems a little fool's goldy to me.
And that's why I went with the Bills in that game, and I think the Bills are playing better football.
Well, they've won three straight now. Yeah. I mean, they start out 0-2, now they're 3-2.
And some good wins. I mean, they beat the Patriots, they beat the Cardinals, and go in and beat the Rams in L.A. I didn't realize, though, when Gurley scored that touchdown, first Rams touchdown in L.A. since like the last time they were there.
Yeah.
last night's game, Packers beat the Giants 23-16 in a game that most people probably didn't watch because they were watching debates.
I watched both. I just don't think the Packers are very good. I mean, they're good enough to beat the Giants, but normally the Packers, when you watch them, you get that, wow, this is a team that's going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
And they just seem like a borderline playoff team to me. Like, maybe they'll get in. But, I mean, obviously, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you've always got a chance to go in there and make something happen. But right now, they just don't look that good.
But if I were to ask you what five teams do look good in the NFL to you, you probably can't get past five.
In the NFL or in the
NFC? In the whole league.
Oh.
In the whole league. Because I can't really get very much past, I think, Pittsburgh and New England.
Pittsburgh and New England,
and
for sure.
I have to put Denver in there because, you know,
they lost one game.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Atlanta looks great right now. Minnesota looks great
right
now.
I think Seattle
looks
pretty
Seattle
good.
In there, but
that's about it.
But I mean,
well, Dallas has looked good.
Well, and that's a game I wanted to get to because the Cowboys get another win yesterday. And, again,
I got to give them some credit because I've been saying they've literally asked Dak Prescott to do nothing.
Yeah.
But the great thing is they're winning games with him being asked to do nothing, and that's what really matters. So,
but see,
when I say he's doing nothing, I mean he's being very efficient. He's not turning the ball over. I mean, besides the fumble yesterday, he's not throwing interceptions. He's not putting him in bad spots. He's managing the game very well. And if you told me a fourth-round rookie was going to go in there and manage a game as well as he had, I would have said you're crazy. But he's doing a really good job. So credit, is he Tony Romo? Like, is he Tony Romo at his best? No. But it's stupid to think that he can be that, at least right now. But is he doing good enough to keep the Cowboys in games and winning games? Yeah. And that's what really matters. He's doing a good job.
I want to do more on this when we come back. We need to go to break. And we also need to hit on that
cheesecake.
So cheesecake and then college football at some point. And yeah, but I do want to do a lot more on that because I think that one deserves a little more attention.
You gotta get these Cowboys fans worked up.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna start it. We got Cowboy fans sitting 5 feet from us here.
Yeah, so. Cowboy fan. They've been waiting for a season like this where the Texans look like crap and they're winning.
Yeah,
their time has come, my friends. It's here right now. All right, I got to tell you about my computer career and it. If you want to turn my mic back on, yeah, I'll continue to tell you about mycomputercareer.edu. Listen, if you've been affected by the oil and gas drop-off, My Computer Career is a great alternative. It's a way to make some really good money and have less volatility in your industry. Mycomputercareer.edu it helps you get in the IT field, and Houston is one of the high-growth sectors for IT. And if you like working or playing with computers, this could be right for you. It's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's companies all over the city hiring IT guys, but you've got to have the right skills and certification. My Computer Career is more than just a school. They're a complete career changer. They've got career change programs that help you get into the industry because they partner with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Many of the students start their first job in just a few months. You'll attend classes only twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. At My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill and Texas Workforce Programs. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today. Find out if an IT career is right for you. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and kind of wanted to finish up with the Cowboys a little bit more because I've been all along saying, you put Romo back in there automatically. But the one thing I would think about, the more I watch this team, I think they're running the ball more effectively because Prescott's threat of running the ball. And there was even on the touchdown yesterday where Elliott got the ball, he pulled a linebacker with him that helped open it up. And you see that sometimes, and that's when Vince Young had success in Tennessee. It wasn't that he had to throw the ball that much, but they were able to run the ball effectively, not just because he could run. We saw it early with Mike Vick's career, too. Because he could run so well, the rest of the team ran well. He was a threat. And I think they're playing that way, and they're playing to that strength. And I almost wonder, just, you know, obviously at some point you've got to get Romo back in there. And I almost think you leave him in there until they lose. And that probably happens this week at Green Bay, but I'm not so sure.
I don't know. The way Green Bay's playing, I don't know how much better they are than the Cowboys.
But I just think, why mess with it if you're going to keep winning football games this way? Maybe your team's set up to win like that. Not that he's better than Romo or he's ever going to be better than Romo. At some point, you're going to need Romo. But I wonder if it's not worth, at least at this point, saying, maybe we should let him keep playing for a little while.
Well, I mean, what did they say? He was going to be out 8 or 9 weeks?
Yeah, well, it's varied. I mean, it was, it's going to be sooner than usual. And I'm worried about how broken Romo really is, too. And if you can have him fresher later.
That's what I'd be looking for. Yeah. But I'm also – I look at their late season schedule, and, like, week 9, it looks like, is at Pittsburgh. I'm not looking to bring him back for that one.
No.
You know, that's probably not the first game I want him back. Week 12 is at Minnesota. That wouldn't be his first game back for me either. You know, I'd be aiming for maybe how about the at Cleveland game, week 8? That might be the move.
That's kind of the free throw for everybody.
Or home against the Redskins might be a good move. Home against the Bucks. I mean, the cool thing about what Prescott's doing is he's buying them time. And – listen, this is the best team the Cowboys have beat so far, the Bengals. And I don't even know how good the Bengals are. I mean, the Bengals don't look to be that good.
No, I was saying that a couple weeks ago, that I'm not that impressed with this team this year, and I wonder if there's just been enough erosion of good coaches leaving, and you know, they're not quite the same team they've been the last couple years.
So they beat the Redskins, the Bears, the 49ers, and the Bengals. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you go in and beat Green Bay in Green Bay – even if they're not playing all that well, that still should be a peer technically, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and so are the Eagles. Eagles are more than technically a peer. They are the other team to beat in the NFC East. So, I mean, I think if you split those games, things are going well. At this point, if the Cowboys lose the next two games and they're 4-3, Dak Prescott's still done more than you could have expected to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't be in any kind of rush to get that dude back. I'd say, hey, take it easy and come playoff time. If he can be around week 13 and be healthy through the playoffs, that's what I'd look for. I don't think Dak Prescott's going to win you many games in the playoffs. But Dak Prescott has shown he can beat the 49ers. He can beat the Bears. These are games where Tony Romo would be taking unnecessary hits. You know, I think it's smart that they didn't have Dez Bryant again out there. Because if you're not healthy in December, it doesn't matter what you do in September and October. Right. It really doesn't. So, you get there to the playoffs and then you're a banged-up team. What are you going to do? Nothing. You know, so I think the Cowboys should be patient with him. I think they should be patient with Dez. They should just try and be as healthy as they can for late in the season because, much like we've talked about with the Texans, this division is so winnable.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those divisions the last couple of years it seems like no one even wants it. So if you're healthy going into the stretch, you're good, man. I think the Cowboys are doing things right.
And it's one of those divisions where if you can just get on a 5-game winning streak, which is what they're pretty close to now, you're probably going to run away with the damn thing because nobody else is going to do that. Maybe Philadelphia keeps going. I don't know. The Giants I've pretty much lost all faith in at this point.
Yeah.
And I know the Redskins aren't any good, so – they somehow win games occasionally, though.
Lamont said, well, what's the media mean when it says Dallas is not asking Dak to do too much? Said it said a lot but not explained. And like I told him, it's a lot of three-step drops. It's a lot of it's a shortened playbook. They're not – you know, he doesn't have the full amount of plays that Tony Romo had, which he shouldn't because he's a fourth-round rookie. But it's mostly three-step drops, nothing deep down the field. And he said a lot of that. He says part of me believes that's because of the Dez limitations. Maybe it is, but if it is, I mean, if Dez was there, I don't think they'd be, you know, giving him 20 more plays than he's already got. I I think that Dez would be working on the plays that, that Dak has.
But that's not an insult either, because they're running plays that he's effective at
running.
Yeah. And that's actually smart. That's adjusting.
Because he and Tony Romo don't have the exact same skill set.
No, it's not even close.
Nor the same amount of experience. I mean, do you think Jimmy Garoppolo had the same playbook Tom Brady had? No, that's ridiculous. And think about what Jacoby Brissett had.
Right.
I mean, that's probably like 10 plays is what it seemed like anyway, watching that dude play.
But if you go out there and run those 10 plays and run them well, guess what?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So the Cowboys have been smart with Dak.
All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. Be happy to take those. And otherwise, hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter, and we'll talk to Stanford Route when we come back.
John, tell me again what I'm doing here. I wasn't listening to you at all. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter one more time. Listen, if you find yourself in trouble with the law for DWI, that can ruin your life if it gets you the wrong way, man. If you're found guilty of that, even if you weren't drunk, it can ruin things. It costs you a lot of money. It could cost you your job, depending on where you work. That's why you need a good lawyer, a good attorney who's experienced in telling the truth about the faulty science behind these police tests. That's why you need attorney Gary Trichter. He is one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's experienced in going to trial and defending against these poor police tests. Give him a call, 713-524-1010. If you've been in trouble for DWI, DUI, boating while intoxicated, any of those, he's got it all. Put his number in your cell phone, 713-524-1010, or check him out, TexasDWILaw.com. That's TexasDWILaw.com for attorney Gary Trichter.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Renterswarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. Come on out. We are having a great time, and I've eaten way too much food now, and I'm about to explode. And just real quickly, if for those of you who followed around on our CFL today, it's already over, and the game's not over. It's 14 minutes left, but pretty sure with a 45-13 lead, that minus 9 is going to hit 2. So congratulations if you played along. All right. Now joining us in studio, our good buddy Stanford Route, former NFL quarterback. You can follow him on Twitter at sroute26. That's R-O-U-T-T-26. Stanford, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Ah, you're on the phone. Okay. We're just having a little steak and a little chicken and a little pumpkin cheesecake.
Hard times out here.
Yeah. Life sucks.
I love it.
Hey, I want to ask something a little bit differently, because we haven't had a chance to talk at all about what happened at the University of Houston on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I kind of want to get your thoughts on that, because it sure looked to me like a team that was beaten soundly in all 3 phases. And as much as I thought the UConn game was a little bit of a fluke last year, this wasn't. I think they could have played another four quarters and Navy would have kicked their butt another 4 quarters. What were your thoughts?
Man, tough loss. Took that one on the chin, but that's how it goes in college football. You got to show up to play every Saturday or somebody will beat you. Navy, that triple option, it's tough to stop. Them and Georgia Tech are pretty much the only teams that still do it, but it's something that you got to deal with, you know, with the teams that are on your schedule. And unfortunately, they weren't able to come out there with a victory. So you got to go back to the drawing board, and now you just got to make sure to win out throughout the rest of the season.
When why don't more teams use that triple option? Because it seems like one of those, like a spread offense in some places where if you do something, your talent is not quite there for a team. Seems like you can be competitive if you do it really well.
Yeah, you can, but you just got to have, number one, the athletes to do it. You got to have the coach that knows how to develop the blueprint for it to be successful. And I think that the way that the landscape is going throughout high school, college, and even the NFL and some teams is that everybody's going to, you know, the spread offense. Everybody wants to throw the ball now. You want to get the big plays with the receivers, the quarterbacks, all of that. So stuff like that is kind of going by the wayside, but it still is effective if you have the right coach and the right players to perfect it.
Didn't this particular loss, losing to Navy, and I was talking about this during the break, losing to a bunch of guys who football is probably like fourth on their list of priorities?
Yeah,
I mean, to me that makes it an extra deep cut, and it makes any talk of this team being able to hang with Louisville or teams like that, or God forbid people were talking about them making it into the playoff. It just seems like maybe we got a little bit of ahead of ourselves with all that.
One could say that, but one thing that I was pleased to see is that they didn't fall that far within the rankings. They're still number 13 right now. So you got to imagine if they went out all the way up to the Louisville game, they'll probably be sitting somewhere around 12 or 13. Louisville most likely will be winning up until that game as well, which Louisville, I believe, is number 7 right now. So I think that if U of H can win out and they beat Louisville when they come to play November 17th, I still see U of H having a chance at really being able to get up in this playoff, because they beat Louisville. I think that'll shoot them back up to somewhere around 6-5, something like that. So I think that they'll have a shot. Will they make it? Maybe, maybe not. But I think that them winning out, that'll still put them in the conversation, because the one thing that I like the most about it, the one thing that the silver lining was that they're only number 13 right now. That's all they fell to. They didn't fall to 18, 19, 20 like I was nervous that they might. So I think that right there in itself shows that there's still some chance for this.
See, I think that any shot at a playoff was lost with that game. I mean, they could beat Louisville by 20, and the rest of their schedule just doesn't seem like it's going to be enough. I worry now that by the end of it, Boise State is going to pass them for that Power Five that spot in the.
Well, not only that, they have to win their conference to get that anyway,
and they don't have a conference. They're not currently in line to even get a play in the conference championship game.
Yeah, so I mean go ahead.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting. Like I said, you know, with them being number 13, I said, obviously, we all know them coming out of the AAC, it's going to be an uphill climb no matter what to get into the college football playoff. We all know that. The only thing that could be my saving grace as far as looking at it is with them still being ranked in the top 6, the top 8, then we're still in the conversation. Like I said, will we get it? There's a good chance that we probably won't. I'm not going to, you know, sit up and be naive on the phone, but at least we'll be close, and you got to still be somewhat in it to win it. And I think that just them finishing the season in the top 10, getting a good bowl game. And like I said, if it's not college football playoff, cool. Then, you know what, let's go to one of these bowls, play against another one of these powerhouses like we did last year against Florida State, beat them. And then I think that's just going to just continue to up the prestige of U of H and ultimately getting into one of these Power Five conferences.
All right, let's turn to the NFL, because your Texans did not look good yesterday. Your Texans, who you said would be playing in the Super Bowl at Reliant Stadium, which I think might happen the next time it's here in 2039. But your thoughts?
Pretty much that game went pretty much exactly how I figured it would. I remember, like I said, on Cube Sports Zone Unfiltered earlier this past week, I was saying the same thing, that if they don't come to play and they are not sound in all phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams, that they will get blown out and it'll get ugly early, because Minnesota has their act together. And like I mentioned plenty of times before, Houston, they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, you know, the Titans, the Bears. The Chiefs came in there sleepwalking in week 2, but you gotta rise to the occasion, and you have to beat the teams on your schedule that are the powerhouse, or should I say the contenders, because where you're trying to go, those are the teams you're going to have to face in the playoffs. The Steelers, the Broncos, the Patriots, you're going to have to beat teams like that. I mean, the Vikings obviously are in the NFC, but you guys get what I'm saying, that it's games like that that you have to come to play and you have to show up, because if you don't, it's going to get ugly early, just like it did yesterday.
From a game like that, you seem to do okay with that in the past, and certainly they bounced back from that Patriots game. But are you worried at all that you're seeing a trend that, frankly, you know, even though they're beating the Titans, they're not looking good doing this? And I'm concerned that they're not even competitive in any of these games. And at what point do you look at that and say, maybe they're just not that good?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, with Houston, I believe that the one thing that Houston fans get, the one thing that they get skewed is they see Houston's record. And Houston always has a winning record, you know, except pretty much the 2013 season when they went 2-14. And they think that, okay, everything's all good because pretty much the AFC South is relatively weak. Let's just go ahead and say that. I don't know which is weak, the AFC South or the NFC East. I don't know which is weaker. So with Houston always doing good in the standings in the AFC South, it'll always make the fans think that, okay, you know what, we really have a shot, when a lot of times you really, really don't. You're just the best team in the division, which is good because that still gets you a home playoff game. So that's good in itself. But really trying to actually get somewhere and get to the top, that's going to be an uphill climb because, like I said, beating up on the Titans, beating up on the Jags, the Colts, they have no offensive line or any defense. That right there will go, and that'll muddy the water as far as seeing the clear picture of what Houston really is. Because, like I said, Houston has the pieces. Brock Osweiler has to grow up. He's got to learn how to read defenses. More importantly, Brock Osweiler needs to have pocket awareness and presence, because too many times he's holding on to that ball when he's got to either let it go to a receiver or just throw it in the stand and just quit taking these sacks that I think are just unnecessary, and they're pretty much drive killers. But Houston has the pieces. I think they just got to put it all together. They have a few weaknesses in certain areas that I've noticed, but what team doesn't? And I think all in all, the coaching has to really pick up at times like this.
All right, that's Stanford Rout, former NFL and University of Houston cornerback, joins us every week. Stanford, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you next week.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We come back. I want to follow up a little bit more on college football. And I have a gem of the day, but we'll blast through it pretty quick so we can talk a little more college football.
I want to talk some college football. I want to talk about maybe a new Heisman candidate that no one's talking about for some reason.
Okay. I'm curious to know who that is.
All right.
It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
What are these ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass in Pearland. Head into Saltgrass, the best place for steaks, hands down. All steaks cooked with Saltgrass, 7 steak spice and topped with garlic butter. Top sirloins, ribeyes, cowboy steaks, fillets, porterhouse, T-bones, and more. Saltgrass is Texas-born and bred, so you can find them everywhere. In fact, 60 locations and growing. And, yeah, I know they're growing because I punch into my GPS, punch in Saltgrass, and just kind of scrolled through them. And I was like,
there's 100 to choose from. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, real quickly, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Okay, as you probably know, Alabama went into Arkansas and treated them like, well, I'm not going to say that, but yeah, they took care of business.
Alabama's good at sport right now.
Well, there was a fan at the game who was very upset with Brett Bielema.
Okay.
And
is this an Arkansas fan, I'm assuming?
Well, he was a fan there. He starts yelling at Bielema and says, "If I had your record, I'd be bleeping fired. Bleep you." Did it enough that he was arrested, charged with public intoxication and disorderly conduct, and escorted from his seat by school police after the game. You know, ordinarily, it's not a big deal. Fan gets arrested for being unruly, right?
Yeah.
Except for his job at the school. He's an assistant professor of agricultural economics and agribusiness. What the hell is a professor doing at a game screaming bleep you at a coach?
With all the yelling.
Arrested? Yeah. And it's interesting because his bachelor's degree is Ohio State, his master's from Mississippi State, PhD from Kansas State. So he has no real ties to Arkansas other than he works there. So dude just got drunk and starts going off on Bielema? Well, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right.
Your baked potato smells delicious, I must say.
Yeah, Voldemort's over there.
Nameless engineer.
Yeah, he who shall not be named. Back to college football, though. I just kind of finished up the thing. I don't know if Stanford quite got the impact of that game. If they don't win out in conference and Navy loses two games, they don't even go to the conference game. They're not eligible to go to a New Year's Day Bowl.
Yeah.
And I see zero chance of them being in any playoff conversation because, frankly, I think you're going to have Alabama or, let's say, something bizarre happens and A&M beats them. I think you're having an SEC team. You're having one of those two Big Ten teams at this point. And I think Washington and Clemson are in there. I don't know if Washington's going to lose the rest of the way.
Washington is so good. And that brought me to what we were talking about, the Heisman candidate that no one's talking about. I'm going to give you some numbers on Jake Browning this year, the quarterback from Washington, who threw for 6 touchdowns against Oregon and ran for 2 more. Currently, he's at 23 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. For a team that throws the ball that much, to have 2 interceptions is ridiculous. 72.2% passer right now. 14, 18 yards, 23 and 2, a 204.9 rating with a raw QBR of 92.3. And they are beating everybody badly. I think 2 names were safely scratched off the Heisman watch list this weekend. I think you can forget about Greg Ward.
Yeah,
sorry, Coop.
Yeah, he's done.
And I think you can forget about Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't get it going against Washington State, I don't know what to tell you, bro. So I think that leaves us with Lamar Jackson, who everyone seems to think is automatic. Deshaun Watson, who was arguably the favorite coming into the season. JT Barrett, who I still think is not getting enough respect. Jake Browning from Washington. And I'm going to add Jabril Peppers from Michigan because I think he's doing freakishly – I mean, he's having like a Desmond Howard-ish type season. But the list is pretty short for this point of the year, isn't it? Because
yeah.
those guys are so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
I would say Myles Garrett, too, and he didn't play. That's kind of a bummer.
But you can see
what the difference is when Myles Garrett's not out there.
Yeah, and I think what that does, though, is it's set up very much so where a guy like Myles Garrett – could still have his Heisman moment against Alabama.
Could.
JT Barrett could still have his Heisman moment against Michigan. There's still opportunities out there for those guys to jump up and do that. But, yeah, and same thing with Peppers. I mean, they're going to have games like that where they can have that moment.
Well, and Jabril Peppers and JT Barrett are going to go head-to-head.
Yeah, and that'll probably eliminate one.
Well, we say that, but we saw Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson go head-to-head, and they're probably the two favorites right now.
Yeah.
So. But I really think with Jake Browning, what he's doing, and look at their schedule and tell me where you see the loss coming from. I don't see it. At Utah is the toughest game they've got left.
That's probably the toughest game they have, yeah. Do you really think anybody in the South is going to beat
them? No, I don't even know who's going to win the South because right now it looks like it's going to be a 5-way tie.
Yeah.
So, dude, I really think this Washington team is the truth. I think – this is the perfect quarterback for the coach that they've got. They seem to be just a perfect mesh with each other. I think they're they're a legitimate contender, and I'm with you. I think they're going to be in the playoff.
And they put – I mean, I don't think Oregon's that great anymore.
Oregon's not great.
But they put 70 up on
them. They made them look like they're junk.
And honestly, the only game that's been close was at Arizona, and – everything else they have just destroyed, including Stanford, who's supposed to be the best team on their schedule. I think that at Cal game might be tricky because Cal can score some points. But
this Washington team is good defensively.
They're very good defensively, but I think that one could – that's one if they start getting behind. I could see that being a trouble spot for them. And then Washington State is also another one just because – I mean, I expect them to win those games, but that's a rivalry game. It's a big one at the end, but right now it looks to me like they – they're in a really good spot.
Yeah, and then someone asked me after that, the Oregon game, what big job is Chris Peterson going to take? I'll just say this. Washington has the potential to be a great job. I mean, that's a job that It's an easy place to recruit. You're recruiting to Seattle. You know, that's a pretty good spot to recruit to.
You get a lot of kids that want to get out of California, too, which is good. And Oregon's been getting a bunch of those.
I think Washington has the potential to be a really good job with the right coach. I've always said the same thing about Colorado. If Colorado can ever get the right guy in there, that could be a really good job because people want to live there. People want to go to Colorado. People want to go to Seattle. It's a good spot to be. I think he's got a good job. If he wants to, I mean, could he get a USC or a job like that? Probably.
And that would that's probably who would come knocking here if they do what they do.
But man, he's not the kind of guy who should be like out searching. He can let people come to him. He doesn't need to be better than this.
Let's be honest. People have been coming to him for years.
Yeah.
When he was at Boise, a lot of these big programs were coming after him. And he chose to stay there and I think did the right thing by build that thing up to the point where, okay, this is the next natural fit for me. I don't know that he's going to be in any hurry to leave Washington, especially if they go unbeaten and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm pretty sure he had a chance to go to USC before and wasn't interested.
Yep.
So
he's in a good spot.
Yeah, he is. All right.
I think he had the chance to go to USC when they took Sarkisian instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we said, who got the better end of that deal? And I said, I think Washington may have gotten the better coach. I remember that conversation we had.
I remember saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I think Washington got the better coach of the two. All right. What do we got here, John?
Man's best friend.
Woof, woof.
Yes. My puppy was at Man's best friend, and she came back. I mean, you wouldn't even believe the difference that they made. She's not pulling on the leash anymore. She's not jumping up on people anymore. She's not, I mean, it was a bunch of puppy stuff, but she's not doing it anymore. She's listening to commands. She understands what I expect from her, and that's the way it should be. It makes it a lot easier. It makes my wife less crazy, makes me less crazy. It just makes everything easier when the dog knows what your expectations are, and that's what Man's Best Friend does. These guys are the professional difference in dog training. And they can teach your dog. They sit down with you. They have an evaluation. And you basically tell them what you want to prioritize during your training sessions. And that's what they'll work on. And that's what we did. And they took care of it all. Check them out. 2331 Bingo Road in Houston. Or give them a call, 713-932-6709. You can find them online at mansbestfriend.com. And you listeners out there, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, 30% off of boarding, training, grooming. They do it all at Man's Best Friend, and they do it all very well. That's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.